We're continuing, of course, our study of the one another's. We're looking at God's Word. We're seeing key aspects as believers of how we're to relate to each other. We call these the one another's. There are over 60 places in the New Testament that talks about these one another's, and what we're doing is we're putting together the book of Romans says that we are members of one another. And so by faith in Jesus Christ, we're placed in the body of Christ. We're together. We've got gifts, talents, abilities, all of these things. They come together, and we want to see how we can impact each other so we can impact our community. The overarching one another is 1 John 4:11, which says love one another. And we've been seeing that. Under that, we had all these different ones. We've got the, we may put up in a minute the outline of the different one another's. But this morning, we're going to begin looking at two more, the last two of the positive ones, you might say. This one is pray for one another and then submit to one another. And we'll see how that ties together. We want to be excited as we seek to make an impact for Jesus Christ. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for your love to us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we gather together, we realize that it is all your grace that you let us live another day, that we get to come together, that we have food, that we have friends, we have a body that we can come together in as believers and worship you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we don't want to take it for granted. We thank you for a class like this that we can come and study the Bible. And in fact, a church that has all the different Sunday school classes going on where people can actually be taught your truth and then make application. And so, Lord, that's our goal, that as we study the one another's, we'll see what we're to do with one another, since we are members of one another, and that we might relate in that way, we might show our love to each other, and that we might love you and love others. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Teach us, Lord, as we study through these things. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever told somebody that you would pray for them and then you didn't? Don't worry, I'll pray for you, and then you don't. It's not on purpose. You didn't say, I'll pray for you, and while you're saying it, saying, I'm lying, I'm not going to pray. You don't do that. You just say, I'll pray for you, and then we forget. We say, I will, but then sometimes we don't even think about it again. Isn't that amazing? We see somebody at church, and they say, oh, be praying for me because I've got this big test coming. Don't worry, I'll be praying for you. And we walk away, and for some reason, we never even think about it again. And they come up to you and say, thanks for praying. It went great. And you go, oh, yeah, yeah. Prayer's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. The truth is, if we say we're going to pray for somebody, we should. And so the Word of God charges us to pray for each other, to make intercession for each other, to ask something for someone else. So in this lesson, as we're looking at the one another, we're going to think about pray for one another. As we think about how we impact each other, we realize this is a key. This is a key in all our lives. It's a big part in touching other lives for Christ. We need to be men and women of prayer. Well, as we begin, we've been seeing all these truths about the one another's, and we want to touch people in this body and then the whole community. And we said the overarching one another is 1 John 4:11, that we are to love one another. That's the key. And the truth is this, that if you're loving others, we're going to do all the other one another's. That's just what happens. And we saw that, I think we have the outline, and if you just, let's do it real fast, that here's the overarching one, love one another, and we said, let's serve one another, and as we serve one another, the second one is be kind for one another, if you could go back to one more slide, to care, serve one another, care for one another, be kind, regard one another, be devoted to one another, then that keeps going, bear one another's burdens, accept one another, all that's under caring. Then the third one is build up one another and encourage. The fourth one is to admonish one another. The fifth one is to forgive one another, and then here we are, the sixth one's pray for one another, and the seventh one, as we'll also see in this lesson, is to submit to one another. Then we said there's some three negative ones. This is how we put them together. Don't judge one another. Number two is don't have conflicts one with another. And number three is don't have lawsuits one with another. They're actually two different things, even though it looks like we say, well, if you're having a lawsuit, aren't you having a conflict? You are, but they're a little bit different. That was the outline that we said. And what we've been doing, let me give you the review. I think we talked about serving one another. That's using the gifts, talents, and abilities. We talked about caring for one another. We then talked about building up one another. I think that's a key. We have to be real careful. This building up one another and exhorting one another, that kind of thing. It is so easy to tear each other down or to be critical about every one of us. And we said the closer you get to people, the easier it is to be critical of each other. And you've heard me say it. I've said it week after week. You impress people from a distance, but you impact people up close. If you're going to impact people, you got to get up close. But if you get up close, they're going to see what you're really like. And all of us have our flaws. So we need to build up each other. Then number four is the one that was pretty hard, admonish one another. And that's the idea of confronting. And that's a tough one to do. And then the fifth one was last, I think it was the one we looked at, finished last week, the forgiving one another. Could you go back to forgiving one another just for a second? Yeah, that to me is, it'll change your life. Out of all of them, this one seems to affect people more than anything else because we don't forgive. We hold that burden and we hold that anger and we hold what people did to us. And we spent a pretty good bit of time on this one. And if you can learn anything from even this study of one another's, forgive one another, release the debt, let it go. God is in control. He will handle all these things because if you don't forgive, you'll be bitter, you'll be angry and depressed. So forgive one another. Okay, is it still working? All right, we'll try to go on with it. Let's next Tuesday this week is pray for one another and after it, submit to one another. So this is where we start with pray for one another. There it is, James 5:16. Look at James chapter 5. Look at verse 16. He says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Now, in the flow of this passage, it's really talking about someone who believes that they're having sickness because of sin. James 5:16. In the flow of this passage, it's really dealing with people who believe that their sickness is because of sin, and this is where they call the elders. But he makes a general statement, and he says, "Confess your sin to one another and pray for one another." And then he ends the little passage by saying, "The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." So one of the keys in our relationships with each other is to pray for each other. We don't have to be with each other to do this. I mean, think about it. You can be at your house and you can think of anybody that you know and you can pray for them. You can lift up requests. You can do that. So let's think about prayer. And I think there's four things we want to look at when we think about prayer. Here's four questions. Number one, what is prayer? Number two, the types of prayer. We're going to see the different verses. Number three, the practical aspects of prayer. And then number four, the results of prayer. So we're going to look at those four things. What is prayer, types of prayer, practical aspects of prayer, and the results of prayer. So let's start with what is prayer? I think that's the next. What is prayer? I think there's confusion on this. Now, you and I would say, well, isn't prayer, it's where you talk to God, isn't it? Like you say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to tell you this. Or I'd like to ask for this. I'd like to praise your name." That's where we talk to God. And you can talk to him anytime, any place, anywhere. It is an aspect of your fellowship with him. That's one of the reasons he says to pray. Some people say, "Why should I pray if God knows everything that I think before I ever think it? He already knows what I would want or what he'd want me to pray for. He already knows all of this. In fact, he's the sovereign God who's working all things according to counsel of his will. Why should I even pray?" Because he tells you to pray, and he tells you as part of your fellowship with him to talk to him. That's what prayer is. Now, there are some people today that have a confusion on prayer. They think prayer is listening to God. I've had people say, "What you have to do is get off by yourself and just don't say a word, and then God's going to speak to you," and that's prayer. That's not prayer. I don't really know what that is, to be honest with you. Because the way God speaks to us is through the Word of God. If you want to know what God says to you, you go to the Scripture and you study the Word of God. That's how He speaks to you. You renew your mind through the Word of God. You understand the things from the Word of God. You live your life based on the faith, which is the truths from God's Word. So prayer is not listening to God, it's talking to God. And it deals with our fellowship and our interaction with Him. So we can talk to Him anytime, any place, anywhere about anything. And sometimes people say, "Well, I don't know if I should tell him that." Do you think he knows it? Right? He knows everything. I mean, there's nothing. So that's one of the things. The second aspect is the different, I think, is types of prayer. And there are five, best I can tell, when you go to the New Testament, there are five words that are translated as prayer, and they have five different little nuances. The first one is the aspect of worship. When we pray, we worship. There's a verse that talks about lifting up your prayers. This is a general word for prayers, prosukeme, which has an idea of putting your face down. Sometimes when we pray to God, we're not asking Him for anything. We're coming to God saying, "You're the best. You're God. You're the Savior. You're the Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Provider, Protector. You do it all." And that we're coming to God as an act of worship. And I think probably every day, sometime during that day, we ought to turn to God, and as we pray to Him, we're recognizing who He is. We're worshiping. We're bowing down to Him. This is the word, the most common Greek word for prayer. This is what it means. Okay? This is the second word. And it's the word for praise or adoration. And this is a word that has an idea that you praise Him, that you realize who He is and what He has done. This is where you're talking to Him and saying, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking care of this. Thank you for this. Thank you for answering this. You're coming to God and you're praising Him. So sometimes you can come to God and it's an act of worship. Sometimes you can come to God and it's basically praise and adoration. They very, very similar, different words. There's a third word. It's the word petition. And this word means to ask something for yourselves. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Supplication there means petition. Let your request, that's the Greek word for petition, let it be made known to God. There's a passage that says, be anxious for nothing. Quit being worried about things, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, that's the word. It's okay to ask for things for yourself. He tells you to do it. He says, don't be anxious or anything. Just ask me. Sometimes people say, isn't it selfish to ask things for yourself? Well, I guess if the only thing you ever did was ask things for yourself, it would be. But you have the idea here that you can worship God. You can praise Him. You can ask things for yourself. And when you wake up in the morning, you begin your day, you can say, Lord, use me today. That's asking something for yourself, isn't it? Use me for your glory, Lord. That's petition. There's a fourth word that's found throughout the scripture, and it's the word intercession. This is where you ask something for somebody else. And we do this all the time. Somebody comes up and says, pray for me, I got a big test. You say, okay, I'll pray for you. That's intercession. We have a sheet that we put out every Wednesday that has all kind of prayer requests for people in our church or people connected with our church or people that our church know about. And there's a whole page, just front and back, of request after request after request. If you get that and you pray those, you're going to be making intercession for all of those requests. That's what you're doing. You're lifting up request for somebody else. You're going to God. In fact, this word, this Greek word means to go into the presence of the king for somebody else. That's what the word actually meant. Like you were going to have an audience with the king, and then you were going to ask the king something for somebody. Well, you get to go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Provider, Protector. You get to go before Him and make your request, your intercession, your petitions, your praise, your worship. You can do it. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know why you can come? See, because the truth is, you don't have any right to approach the living God. He's powerful, He's God, He's perfect, He's righteous, He's just. We're fallen, we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're fallen people, and we don't have any kind of right to be able to go before God. But because Jesus Christ has come and has taken our place and is our intercessor, He is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So when you go to approach God, you actually approach God through Christ. That's why, how do you end your prayer? In Jesus' name we pray. That's not just to tell everybody we're through. What does it really say? Whose name are you approaching the living God in? Jesus. Because He is your intercessor. 1 John 2 says we have an intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's why the Bible says you can come boldly into the throne of grace, because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has gone before us. See, you can approach the living God because Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is your intercessor and your advocate. In 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, he basically says, when you sin, you have Jesus as the one to go between, and when you come with questions or requests or petitions or intercessions, you have Jesus. He is your advocate. He is your intercessor. There's one more that is a word that's found. It's confession. Everybody knows this one, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And so many people are confused about confession. A lot of people say, confession is asking God for forgiveness. No, it's not. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. He didn't say, if you ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. He said, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive you. Confession is two Greek words put together, homo. Legeo. Homo legeo is the Greek word confession. Homo means same. Homosexual, same sex. Homo means same. Legeo means to say something, to speak. Homo legeo means to speak the same thing. Confession is when you say the same thing God would have said. When you lie, you say, God, I lied. I know that's wrong because you say lying's wrong. That's confession of sin. And if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and cleanse you. So those five are the five sort of famous words. In fact, look at, you can kind of hold your place right there and just flip over to 1 Timothy for just 1 second. Hold your place there and look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is a New American Standard. This is how it's translated. But let me give everybody just a chance to get there. Just a few pages back toward the front of your Bible. If you're in James, just go back a little bit to Hebrews, of course, and then Titus, and 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, first of all, then. And when he says first of all, he means this is the priority. Paul's writing to Timothy and says, now here's your priority. First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. He says, first of all, I urge entreaties. That's the word for petition, to ask for yourself. Prayers, that's the word for worship. Petition is the word for intercession. And thanksgiving is the one for adoration or praise be made on behalf of all men. He says, that's what you do. We're to pray for one another. So let me tell you this. Sometimes people say, well, how do I pray? When you come together, you can spend a whole time praying, worshiping God. You can spend the whole time praising Him. You can spend the whole time asking for something for yourself. You can spend the whole time asking for something for somebody else. Or you can spend the whole time confessing your sins. You can. Or you can do all of that. You can do all five of those. You can do anything you want when you talk to God. The key is to talk to Him, because it's how we maintain our fellowship with Him. So prayers to be made. Here's the third thing, and this is the practical aspects of prayer. Okay? And let's get really practical. How are you going to do it? Because you see me in the hall, and I say, something, 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 pray for me, and you go, I'll pray for you, JB. How are you going to do that? How are you going to remember to do that? Well, I'd say one of the things you get is a prayer book. We've got them in the office in there. If you come into the office and say, I want one of those prayer books, it's a thing that it has places to write down prayers for people. It has places to pray for people every day of the week. It has places to write things in. It's a place to journal. You can do anything you want to. I've found that helps me is that I have to write down, if somebody says, will you pray for me? And I say, yes. If I write it down, I will pray for them, because I use my little book. And so I suggest, to get very practical, is to get you something, whether it's a prayer book or a piece of paper or something, and you write down things you want to pray for. So that if you say to somebody, I'll pray for you, that you will. And there's a second thing there is, well, let me say this. Yeah, that's the third thing, but let me go ahead and get the third thing, and I'll come back to prayer time. Go ahead and get the third one. Be specific on your prayer. When you pray, don't just say, bless JB. I'm blessed all the time. Let's get real specific about this thing, right? And it's true. When you pray, pray specifically. When somebody says, would you pray for this? Say, okay, what do you want me to pray? And get specific. Because let me tell you this. The more specific the prayer, the more specific the answer. And if you want to see specific answers to prayer, you have to pray specifically. Because if you pray, bless JB, you'll see a big general blessing. But if there's something particular, you will see it. Now, let me just say this while we're on this one, specific prayer, is He answers every prayer. He does. Now, the answer may be no. And the answer may be yes. And the answer may be wait. But He's going to answer every prayer, because God is a God who answers prayer. And so when you're lifting up your prayer request, He is in the process of answering them. And sometimes we say, Lord, I want you to do this for somebody. And the answer is no. It doesn't mean He didn't answer it. It's just the answer is no. And we say, that's what I wanted. That's what they wanted. God says, you don't understand. I know the end from the beginning. I'm God. I know what's best. You may think this is best because you're finite and limited, and in your life this looks best, but it's not. And we have to trust Him. There are so many things that we've prayed for in our lives that we say, oh, I want this to happen, and it doesn't. There are things we've prayed for and it happens. We go, wow, God answered that one, but He didn't answer this one. Yes, He did. He answered both of them. It just wasn't exactly what we thought. And if we could get to and see what He sees, we'd say, you're right. That is the best thing. Wow. That's why he says you don't even know what to pray for. That's why he says the Holy Spirit comes and actually helps you, because we don't even know what to pray for. But he goes to the one who is the intercessor, Jesus, and then Jesus goes to the Father. That's over in the book of Romans chapter 8. Sometimes go over to Romans chapter 8. You will see that when you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us to the intercessor, Jesus, who is the go-between, who then goes to the Father. And so there's times you may say, oh, Lord, I want this. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. He doesn't know what to pray for. Right? That's true. Yes. Okay, that's a hard question, because he says, does God withhold from you something if you don't specifically ask for it? I think God is such a God of grace, and he knows, as Psalm 103 says, he knows our frame, we're just dust. He knows if you are consciously saying, oh, Lord, I don't even know what to ask. I don't know what. He's a God of grace, and he takes care of us. The thing that I see sometimes, that in the book of James he says that sometimes he will not answer prayers that he would answer yes if we're having sin in our lives and we hadn't dealt with that. And that's James, you know, the book of James talks about that, about having the sin, and that we ask with the wrong motives. And he says, you ask and you receive not, because you're asking with the wrong motives. You're asking sinfully. And so we need to be in fellowship when we pray. And so I don't, let me say this, I don't think he'll withhold anything that's ultimately best for us.
It's really mainly the communication from us to him that he wants us to pray.
Exactly. The whole purpose of prayer is communication and fellowship. I mean, we all know that when we deal with each other and when things go wrong, it's because we're saying, no, they didn't communicate, right? We don't know what's happening with each other. You can see God's going, they're just not communicating. He wants you to talk to him about everything. Prayer time, that's the second one, because specific prayer, I put that in prayer book. You know, I got a prayer book, and I write down, you know, exactly what I'm praying for, like a certain thing. And then many times I go back, I put a little X by it when it's answered. I have bunches of answers. I mean, bunches. I mean, in fact, most of them are answered. They're not always answered the way I ask them, but they're all answered, almost every one of them. And some of them that aren't answered, we're still just lifting them up. Yes.
Work just to align our thoughts with what God, the direction God might be taking us in?
Well, I think that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He said, does the Holy Spirit help align our thoughts into the direction that God... I think he does, exactly. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to lead us, the leading of the Spirit. He is the power in which we live, in which we understand Scripture. So you're exactly right. Exactly. Was that the second bell? That's the first one, because I'm looking at the clock and it's not time yet. Okay, we got a prayer book, prayer time. Oh, prayer time. Now let's talk about prayer time. People always are real spiritual, of course, as you know, get up real early and pray. That's what everybody thinks, right? You can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. You can pray before you go to bed. You can pray when you're in your car. You can pray when you're walking. Pray anytime. The key is to pray. The key is to talk to him. You know, one of these things, like if you're in the car by yourself, talk to God. If you're walking down the walking across campus, talk to God. If you're standing in line, don't do it out loud. They'll think you're nuts, but just talk to God. I mean, just do it. Talk to him anytime, any place, anywhere about anything. Because he says, don't be anxious for anything. Give it to me. So I think you have to be real specific, practical, is get you a prayer book and pray. Have a time. Now, you know, it's probably a good idea that if you had a time every day on a regular basis that you could. Now, I'm not calling this Bible study. You know, I think there's time you study the Bible. That's different than what I call the quiet time or your prayer time. I think it's good to have a time every day in which you can pray. It may change a little bit. One day it may be this time. Another day it may be this time. But have your time and then pray specifically. And then I think there's one more little section, and maybe we can get this before the bell rings, and that is the result of prayer. 5:16 says, yeah.
And I have found that, you know, so many times the Holy Spirit will prod me or others that I've known to pray for someone, and sometimes we don't, and we miss the blessing. So when you do, and you pray, and you can go back and see all those are all, then we see the blessings that God has done. And sometimes we think he's not answering prayers, but he is. And when we can visually see that, when I can go back and see those stars, then that's the blessing that we get. And then that just goes into the circle of praising and adoration.
Exactly. At all times. In fact, that's what happens when you see an answered prayer, and when I say answered prayer, it may even be what you didn't pray for, but it was answered in a different way. And because you trust God, you say, well, that's not exactly what I was praying for, but thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. And then there's the circle of what? Adoration and worship and praise. It just goes together. And I tell you, if you don't pray, you miss blessing. To be a part of God's work. I mean, you pray for something and you see it happen and you go, whoa, God, I was in on that. I was in on that somehow. I don't know how I was, but I was in on that, right? He wants you to be in on it. That's the plan. This last one, the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. As you live righteously and godly and you pray effectively, God's going to use you. And it's just amazing. God answers prayer. God wants us to touch lives. We want to see answered prayer. And I think we do it. We're to pray for one another. Take the time. You know, it may be that you get a group of people that you pray with on an ongoing basis. It may be that, and let me tell you, it's the hardest. I know that's the second bill, but I just wanted to say this. It's the hardest thing. When we have CBI in the classes on Wednesday nights, we don't have our normal prayer time. When we don't have CBI, if the semesters aren't going, we have regular Wednesday night. We always follow Wednesday night's teaching time with prayer time. And we start we've changed the times, but at 6:30 we'd start. And I try to get through by 7. So from 7 to 7:30 we'd have prayer. And what's so amazing, we might have 75 to 100 people in here for me teaching through something. But when we break for prayer, 90% of the people walk out the door. 90%. Because praying is a lot harder than listening. I wish it was the opposite. I wish 90% stayed and prayed. And it breaks my heart. I want to go up to them, and I don't always. I want to go up and go, where are you going? Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. And I'm saying, it's just 7. I could teach all the way to 7:30. Right? So praying is hard. This is the hardest thing. This is a lot harder than studying. It's a lot harder than teaching. It's a lot harder than fellowshipping. In fact, one of the Greek words for prayer is agonizo. We get agony from it because it means to agonize as you lift up your request. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So we have to be praying. And it's not the easy thing. It's the hard thing. Okay. Was that the second bell already? It was. Okay, we're halfway through this lesson because the next part of the lesson deals with submitting to one another. That'll be a fun one too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can lift prayer requests up to you anytime, any place, anywhere about anything. May we be prayers. We know, Lord, it's hard to maintain our fellowship with you and to lift up requests. And sometimes it's even agony in the way that word is. So, Lord, I just pray for each one of us in this room that we will get prayer books. We'll pray specifically. We'll think about times to pray. We'll lift up our requests. We'll worship you and praise you and lift up petitions and intercession and confession. And we'll do all of these things, Lord, because that's our goal and dream. We want to be close to you, but we want to pray for one another. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.